Good morning. I'm going to read from God's Word, and I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verses 1 to 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And this is the word of the Lord.
So good morning, everyone. Before I launch into what I'm going to do, I just want to say it's great to see Trixie with us. Trixie Corris, born just before Christmas, the youngest member of the Church of the Good Shepherd, to Becky and Mickey. So congratulations. Great to have you here this morning. So I'm going to start with a little exercise to explore the issue of hearing God's voice. So Evans has kindly volunteered to come out and blindfold himself, and then a few people are going to say a phrase, and the challenge is for Evans to see if he can recognise the voice without seeing the person. And the phrase they're going to say is, "Jesus said, I am the gate of the sheep. Jesus said, I am the gate of the sheep." Okay, you definitely not see anything? I'll punch it. Jesus said, "I am the gate of the sheep." Here comes the first one, Evans.
Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep."
You got that one, Evans? Have it again.
Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep."
That's one third. Ah!
Jill. Little clue help there.
Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep."
He'd be in real trouble if he didn't get that one.
Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep."
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep.
No, try again.
Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep.
Right, let's do one more.
Jesus said, I am the gate of the sheep. Jesus said, I am the gate of the sheep.
Think PCC. Okay, well done. Thanks, Evan. So that will help us a little bit later on as I get through the sermon, as we talk about recognising God's voice. But first of all, a bit of context. Our passage today follows directly from the passage we had last week, John 9. We've gone into John 10. That was the account of the man born blind. At the centre of that event, the man born blind, was the question of whether Jesus is of God or not. And Jesus is now telling a parable about sheep and shepherds and gates or doors to further make the point that he is from God. By using the term shepherd, Jesus is identifying himself with the Old Testament image of God as shepherd. In a village or town, the sheep from various flocks would be sheltered under cover at night for the duration of the night. In the morning, the doorkeeper would open the door and each shepherd would call out his sheep. The sheep would recognize the voice of their own shepherd. Jesus' hearers didn't quite get what he was saying. He was talking to the Pharisees. So then he sort of gives another example. This time is referring to the nighttime arrangements for the sheep in the countryside. And here there would be a rough walled enclosure with a gap for the sheep to enter and leave. And the shepherd would literally lie down to sleep across the gap, so he'd be able to control and keep them in the pen for the night. And this is the way Jesus is saying he's the door or the gate for the sheep. Jesus is saying that he is literally the way in to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. After Christmas, we took our grandson to see The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. It wasn't the one in London. It was a local one in Harlow. And it was great to see him engaging with that story. Of course, you know, the C.S. Lewis's story where the children go through the door of the wardrobe and then they go into this other world. So another kind of idea of the door being a way in to God's kingdom. And Jesus was making the point that there are others who were claiming to be messiahs, others who wanted to overthrow the Roman occupation by force, those who use religious position for personal gain or to control the lives of others. He's probably having a bit of a swipe at the Pharisees who he's talking to. And they're like the ones who climb over the wall into the sheep pen to steal the sheep. They're false guides who can lead us to destruction. Jesus is saying the way we can be saved, the way we can have that relationship with God, to be made safe, to be made whole, to be healed, that he is that way. He is another way, you know, as we'll have later on, I'm the way, the truth and the life. Jesus is saying, it's coming in through me is the way to all of this stuff, all of these blessings, to salvation. Or, as the term John uses throughout his gospel, Jesus gives eternal
life, the term eternal life, life to those who follow him. And as Jesus puts it in this passage, specifically he says, I'm the way, the way into living life to the full, living life to the full, having the best quality of life. Living life to the full is ever more the case when we are in God's will. So getting ourselves into God's will enables us to live out everything that God wants for us. And we get into God's will when we hear his voice and allow him to guide us like sheep following the shepherd. So I'm going to say a little bit about hearing God's voice now. How do we hear God's voice, and how can he guide us in life and in the decisions that we have to make? So those two things are linked together, hearing God and getting his guidance. So that's what I'm going to unpack as we go through this now. So we did that experiment with Evans about recognising voices. Sometimes it was clear straight away, for instance, Irene, thankfully, and sometimes a bit more information was needed to be able to get there. At my last church, we actually literally had a guy who was born blind called Steve. He was actually our keyboard player. He was a remarkable guy. And he used to travel all over the place, and he loved to go to the States because he was a great Elvis fan. Interestingly, at his house, although he couldn't see, he had some pictures of Elvis on the wall. His wife was blind as well, and they met at a college where they learnt secretarial skills as blind people. But yeah, in his house he had these pictures of Elvis, even though he couldn't see him. But Steve told me he could always tell if it was an Elvis impersonator straight away by his acute hearing. And so I asked him how he identified people who were speaking to him. And Steve said, well, everyone's voice is unique. Even twins are not exactly the same. I don't know whether that's right, Heather, because I know you're a twin, but there is a difference even with twins. Factors that define voice are, he told me, and in a sense it's a bit like a musical instrument, is the frequency. Is it low frequency, medium? Is it high frequency? The timbre or quality, you get overtones and harmonics like you do with a musical instrument, that add to the quality of the voice. And then there's the intonation, or even the mood of the person speaking can affect the way their voice comes across. Steve went on to say that to recognise the voice, we need to spend time with the person. That makes sense, doesn't it? The more we're with a person, the more we recognise their voice. He says also that their voice relates to their character and their personality. There's something about their makeup that affects the way they speak. And he says also cutting out external noise is quite important. He said it would be harder in a party or, you know, at a pub to be able to pick out voices. We all know that's true, don't we? Especially when you're getting older and you start to lose the higher frequencies. So let's apply this now to hearing God's voice. I guess you've been making parallels, I hope, as I've been going along there. But focusing on Jesus through worship and Bible study is the beginning. Being in a quiet place, but recognising that we can still have interference, as it were, both external interference and internal interference that can affect our mind. It's not just noise sources, physical noise, but the views and opinions that are banging around in the world affect how we're able to hear God, because we've got like a mindset that is influenced by voices that are not the pure voice of God. And we have our internal noise as well, where we can have our own worries and issues which are affecting us and blocking out hearing God. So, you know, if we're trying to listen to God, it's important to hand those things over to him, to trust him with our worries and concerns. And getting to know Jesus' character. he is the only way to the full revelation of God. So the more we get to know the character of Jesus, the more we can hear his voice. Spending time with him in prayer and silence and learning ever more about what he's like from the Bible. And if you're able to pray in tongues, that helps as well. It always seems a mystery about tongues, but one of the benefits is that you get yourself into the mind of the Spirit. When you pray in tongues, you're not using your normal language, so you're cutting out some of that interference, some of those mindsets that are not God's mindsets, and then you're more attuned to the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that's working through you as you pray in tongues. So they're all ways that enable us to hear more clearly God's voice. And God speaks in all kinds of ways to us, and I'm going to now unpack some of those ways as a way of understanding God's guidance. So if we put the PowerPoint on, please, Terry. God's guidance to us in life decisions. And there are four general ways that I'm going to touch on to give an overview of how God guides us, how he speaks to us in different ways. So the first one, unsurprisingly, is through Scripture. And the first, there's two aspects of this. And the first is the general will of God. The general will of God. The Bible gives us general instructions on many issues, be that marriage, work, handling relationships, money, children, attitude to the poor, elderly. There's some general guidance on many life issues. And this provides a framework for us and sets a general direction. We obey God's revealed will for us. So, do I pay taxes? Unfortunately, the Bible says yes. Do I have a relationship with someone married to somebody else? The Bible clearly says no. Mark Twain apparently said, "I've no problem with the parts of the Bible I don't understand. It's the parts that I do understand that give me a problem." We need to be in line with God's general will for him to guide us. And if we're not sure that the Bible covers a particular topic, then we can ask others about their knowledge and understanding of the Bible, because they may have grabbed hold of bits that we haven't. But we're talking about God's general will. So if the Bible, it makes it clear that being single or being married, they're both righteous ways of living before God. But if we're thinking about being married, it's no use looking in the Bible for who it is we should marry. I've got a terrible joke about that, but I think I'll spare you from it. Right. Oh yeah, it's the chap who, does he marry Maria or Susan? He doesn't know. He can't make his mind up, and he goes to a Catholic church and he hears Ave Maria. I said it was terrible, didn't I? So there's the particular will of God, the particular will of God. And the Bible can help us with that. Sometimes when you're reading through a passage, there'll be like a verse that jumps out and smacks you in the face. There's like a bright light on it. And God is really wanting to get something across to us through that. Generally not a good idea to open the Bible, sort of throw it on the floor and stick a pin in it and pick out the verse. And you've probably heard this many times before, but the person who did that read the verse, Judas went and hanged himself. Thought, I don't really like that one. Turned over a few pages, stuck in another pin, and it said, go and do likewise. So Sometimes God can use a random verse, but it's more like through more systematic reading when we find that a verse is standing out to us, that God is speaking to us. So, the next general way that God can speak to us is by the Holy Spirit in us. God works in you to will and act according to his good purposes. Philippians 2:13. So when we pray, the Holy Spirit is at work in us because the Holy Spirit's in us. So we're connecting to the Spirit that's living in us, the Spirit of God. And it's by the Holy Spirit that God speaks to us. So as we listen to the inner quiet voice of the Holy Spirit, we are listening to the voice of God. And a thought that can then come to mind. We can get a strong impression or a conviction. We feel something down in our stomach, in our inner being. I remember when I was a curate being at the morning prayer and praying following the Bible readings, and I got a name of a person came strongly to mind, and I felt to go round to their house. This person had been ill, and it was just, I arrived just the moment the ambulance arrived to take her to hospital, and I felt God guided me to be there, just to be with the couple as she went to hospital. It was on her, it was her last journey that she made. So what we're talking about here is not a whim, but a growing sense of rightness. We can have a strong sense to do something. And the more we get to know God and his character, the more we act in line with his will, and the more our desires change. So what we actually want changes as we get to know God and his Spirit works in us. And there's that lovely verse from Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll grant you the desires of your heart. Your desires become ever more God's desires as we get to know him. And doing God's will is fulfilling. It doesn't have to be awful. God isn't necessarily telling us to do things that are dreadful. They're things that will be beneficial to us and beneficial for his coming kingdom. If it doesn't seem immediately, why am I involved in this? Why am I doing this? Well, God knows the bigger picture for his coming kingdom. And the Holy Spirit works through gifts of revelation, through prophecy, through words given by other Christians, where they may feel that God is saying something, may come in the form of a picture or a scripture. It can be in our dreams. It can be in visions. Remember the story of Paul when he was in Asia Minor, and he was wanting to go one way, and he had a dream, he had a vision of a man of Macedonia, present day Greece, beckoning him over, and he went in a different direction to what he expected, but that came through a vision. We spoke a lot about these last year, about prophecy and dreams and visions, so I won't go into it now, there isn't time, but just taking that as a way that God speaks to us, an important way that God speaks to us by his Spirit, I just want to put it up there now. A time when that was particularly relevant to me is when Wendy and I have been here on the Friday for an informal interview about coming here to be the vicar. I hadn't told anybody in my other church, obviously, that we were looking. We had the prayer meeting before the worship on the Sunday, and somebody said, I've got a picture of like a shepherd's crook, and there's like a sword lying across it. Of course, with the Church of the Good Shepherd, but if you look at the badge of the Diocese of Chelmsford, of which we're a part, it's a shepherd's crook with a sword across it. They had no idea what that was about, and I thought, I know, but I'm not saying at this point. So the gifts of revelation can be very powerful, and they're just a part of how God guides us, but it's important to check these out with other Christians. So it brings us to the third of the four ways, which is the counsel of other Christians. So testing what we believe God's saying to us. We can all have blind spots, areas of damage in our spirits, which mean that we're maybe not hearing clearly. So an example of blind, so between us, we can hopefully cancel out our blind spots. So if we don't see something or see something wrongly, then somebody else, it's different for them. It's like simultaneous equations, and you can isolate the variables. That may help you or may not help you, depending whether you like maths or not. But you should have done it to 18, apparently. I heard somebody say recently. When we're in Stevenage, we had a mission partner come from Nigeria. I was the first Nigerian person, the second Nigerian person I got to know really well. He was horrified by some of the stuff we get on our TV, some of the advertising, which can be quite erotic or provocative. And he said, you know, what's going on that you've got this kind of stuff on? But I guess, you know, for me, it's kind of the way it is here. You look at adverts or whatever. But then there was a time we were going to a conference and I couldn't find a place to park the car. And he said, there's a good park there. I saw there's two yellow lines. Not allowed to. And he said, oh, you're a priest. It's all right. You can park there. So, you know, different cultures have different things that are clear from God what's right and wrong. And sometimes we see those things in our own, in another culture, but not in our own. So, you know, testing with others, we can cancel out the blind spots. And then there's general advice. And that verse that's up on the screen, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisers they succeed, from Proverbs. The Holy Spirit is working through other people. So it's always good to consult godly people you know well, those in spiritual authority, to talk things through. It's probably good not to go to loads and loads of people, because you probably end up being confused. And in any case, sometimes you can do that until you find the person who gives you the answer you want. But, you know, consulting a few other people that you know, who know you and are godly people. But ultimately, have to remember that it's your responsibility, the decision you make. So the counsel of other Christians. So Scripture, Holy Spirit in us, counsel of the Christians, and then the last way is circumstances. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord determines their steps. God's in control of everything, and he can use circumstances to guide us. God can close one door for us and open another. So going back to Paul in Asia Minor, he wanted to go to another province. He kept trying to go there, but we don't tell why, but something seems to keep stopping him. It says the Spirit of Jesus is stopping him, but maybe there are just some circumstances that prevented him going where he wanted, and he had that vision of the man of Macedonia, and he went in a completely different direction. So God can close one door and open another. Back in my time when I was training in the Ministry of Defence, I was sponsored through university. We had part of the Ministry of Defence I was in, we all had to do a master's degree in engineering. But I was offered a PhD, and I thought, well, that sounds good. I'll see if I can convince the system to keep on paying me to do a PhD. It would take a couple more years. So I made this amazing case of why it would be a good thing. And I travelled to Bath, where the headquarters of the naval design were at that time, to see the big boss. And I went in and I sat down, and he says, what do you want to talk about? So I gave him this whole spiel, probably 10 minutes, of why it was a good idea to do a PhD. And he said, no. And that was the end of the conversation. So... never did one. What's interesting is that if I'd gone on that path, undoubtedly circumstances in my life would have been different. I'd have gone to different places at different times and different influences, and I probably wouldn't be here talking to you today. So you probably wish I had done the PhD after all. I don't know if you've seen that film called Sliding Doors, where the person rushing for the tube and the door slams shut and he doesn't get on. But then there's another scenario where he just jumps in. And according to those two different sets of circumstances, his life goes in very different directions. I can't remember if it's a he or a her, but it's a she. Yeah, she ends up going through a different course. I think it maybe ends up in the same place at the end, but anyway, it's a very good film. So maybe a job opportunity opens up or closes down, or you pass or fail an interview. You have to be careful how we interpret that, because you might think, oh, you know, I've failed an interview for this kind of work a few times. Maybe this isn't the work, this isn't the job for me. Maybe it is the right job, but it's the wrong time, or it maybe needs to be with a different employer later on. And again, we have to be careful not to over-spiritualize. God's given us minds, and we need to use them. And also, as James said, ask God for wisdom, and he'll give it to you if you need it. Sometimes we just have to make the decision. And if we get it wrong, well, God will always give us another opportunity if we take it back to him. So there are the four forms of guidance: scripture, God's general will, and then sometimes through a particular verse, his specific will for us. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives through our personal prayer and through gifts of revelation. Through the counsel of other Christians, testing what we think God's saying and seeking their advice. And then through circumstances. So it's not an exact science, but all those things could come together to help to guide us to be within God's will. And Jesus said, he came that we would have life to the full, and he is the door, he's the way in to God's kingdom, to the kingdom of heaven, and to all the blessings of heaven on this earth, as well as in the life to come. So what I thought would be a good kind of response to this is just to think for a minute about ways that God may have guided you in the past, whether one of those ways has particularly been the way God has spoken to you, to reflect on a decision you've made through God's guidance, or maybe just think about a decision you're trying to make at the moment, and to be seeking God's guidance on that. So if we just do that quietly on our own for a moment, I'll then let us know. We can maybe just chat with somebody sitting by you to share that experience with them. So let's just ponder that for a moment. We'll leave the slide up, Terry, just to remind us of those ways of guidance.